on his trip to the National Portrait Gallery in London. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And there is an echo in here. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have, this is the perfect guest. He's agreed at the very last minute to join us on the Air Cascadia today. Yeah, Rick Sterling is an independent investigative journalist and just wrote the piece, The War Against Alternative Information, he wrote this for consortiumnews.com. In this piece, he states, the U.S. establishment is not content simply to have dominion over the media narratives on critical foreign policy issues such as Syria, Ukraine, and Russia. It wants total domination. Thus, we now have the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act that President Obama signed into law on December 23rd, right under the wire, as part of the National Defense Authorization Act for 2017, setting aside $160 million to combat any, and this is in quotes, propaganda, the challenges official Washington's version of reality. Yes, and on that note, we've got a quick bit of weather to get through, and both on paper and out the door. As we have Rick on the line right now, I will bring you the weather in just a moment, but we are fortunate to have him, and we're going to get right to it now. Rick, thank you so much. My guest is Rick Sterling, and we're going to be speaking with him right now. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are very, very fortunate to have you.
Okay, nice to be with you.
Yeah, this is a very big issue. What amazes me is that the issues that you write about in this piece should draw outrage. There should be national conversation roaring at the moment, and I find it alarming that the response to this is so flaccid. The public, well, on both sides of the wire, should be talking about this. Can you again your piece, The War Against Alternative Information, and again, listeners, that's on consortiumnews.com. Can you talk a little bit about perhaps how the U.S. establishment came to decide it was in all of our, we the people, in our best interests?
Well, I think what's going on is that the basically the U.S. empire is in decline, and it's losing in various points around the world, and so they are seeking to counter that partly by stepping up militarily and also by stepping up the information war. Of course, before they can send troops in, before they can get the money to supply proxy armies, they have to persuade the American people that this is good and that what they're doing is good. And so whether it's in Syria or it's in Colombia or wherever it is, wherever the U.S. is pouring money in, they need to basically try to win support from the population. So you've had a massive campaign around the so-called white helmets in Syria, and that's a massive hoax, actually. If interested listeners do some searching online, they can find a lot of very well-documented studies into the white helmets showing that they are not what they're purported to be. They were actually created by the U.S. and the U.K. using a British military contractor. But even as much as the U.S. Establishment dominates the overall narrative, and for example, on Syria, much of the progressive media has been confused and has bought into the propaganda. But even as much as they do dominate it, they're still not happy. They still don't have total control. So now you have $160 million being set aside by Congress, and it was signed by President Obama on Christmas Eve, December 24. So that's partly why it hasn't received more attention. They kind of slipped it in under the radar when people are in the midst of the holiday season. $160 million, they're going to create what they call a Global Engagement Center. And that is going to be the purported mission of that is to counter foreign propaganda and disinformation. And in that, in addition to those funds, they're setting aside $20 million, which will go to private contractors and to NGOs and other groups that join with them in countering what they call foreign propaganda. And basically, what they call foreign propaganda is information that disagrees with their narrative. So, but that's kind of it. That's kind of a thumbnail sketch of the situation.
No, obviously a great deal more complex than that. The American we've seen the American public has recently demonstrated a stunning lack of interest in thinking analytically about anything, let alone a complex thing like Syria. The white hats business is a perfect example. The fact that it's so utterly absurd at face, and still it worked beautifully. Americans love people in white hats. Put on you could give Assad a white hat, and they'd love him.
It's always a very simplistic portrayal. We've got the black hats, that's Assad, that's Russia, that's Putin, and we've got the white hats, the good guys, the rebels. Never mind the fact that the so-called rebels are actually, it's basically dominated by Al-Qaeda, sectarian fanatics and mercenaries who've been funded by Saudi Arabia and a host of other countries, including the U.S. The CIA budget for Syria was $1 billion per year. That's just the CIA budget. In addition to that, you have the Department of Defense and the U.S. State Department budgets for Syria. Syria has been an enormous sinkhole, and we have contributed enormously to the death and destruction there because we've been financing and supplying and promoting a proxy army of terrorists. That's what it really boils down to. It's like a modern version, an amped-up version of the Contras that the U.S. funded and created in Nicaragua in the 1980s.
It seems to have been originally sort of a weapons market, right? When you have these markets in Las Vegas, a consumer market, to display the weaponry and so forth, and to destabilize the region in order to control it. This seems to have, I can't think of any other reason. It seems to have gotten wildly out of hand. And is now running off in its own course. But the propaganda issue that is so important for the American public, demonstrably not either capable or interested in really understanding, but sublimely.
It's very, very important for citizens and to look for real evidence of accusations, whether it's accusations of Russians hacking the election. There is no solid evidence supporting that. In fact, there's a lot of contrary evidence. The situation in Syria, it's very important that people have access to alternative and people explore alternative sources of information. Consortium News is very good. You know, your radio station there obviously is on the same track, trying to dig in to find out, well, what are the facts behind the situation? Because we are basically, they are very skilled in manipulating the public perception. Going back to the White Helmets, that campaign is managed out of Brooklyn, New York. Seriously. And it's called the Syria Campaign, but it's led by an Irish woman who immigrated to the U.S. So that's the Syria Campaign. It's run by a woman in Brooklyn, New York, who has never been to Syria.
And then we have the other the generators of false news, who themselves could, in all likelihood, are false, and were dreamed up by the same people who dreamed up the White House. It seems all to be this sort of elaborate kabuki, a nightmare play. But
It's been a nightmare for Syria.
Yes, it has. What's left of Syria?
It's been a real nightmare for Syria. Most Americans are not aware that over 100,000 Syrian soldiers and civil defense have been killed in Syria. Most Americans are not aware that hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans have gone over there. I've got a photograph of a jihadi truck with heavy weaponry in the back, and when you look at the photograph closely, the truck has California license plates. So fanatics have been recruited from around the world using various means, some in Saudi-funded mosques, promoting a hateful, really distortion of Islam. It's a complete aberration of Islam, you know, the Salafi Wahhabi distortion, some deceived in various ways, hundreds from Canada, hundreds if not thousands from the U.S., many thousands from the U.K., thousands from Belgium, France, Denmark, throughout, and tens of thousands from North Africa were paid to go to Syria to and supplied, and they basically have waged a war of terrorism attacking the sovereign state there. For whatever shortcomings exist there, it's up to the people of Syria to determine their government, not Washington or Cairo or Tel Aviv.
Or Moscow, for that matter. Indeed, it seems that it would appear that the propaganda machine is an elaborate marketing program, and what they do is they tart up whatever agenda they are attempting to promote.
Right,
and packaging.
Right. I'm sorry, but I've got another commitment. Get off to, but it was good to chat with you briefly, and then maybe another time we can talk.
I very much hope so. Any final thought you want to leave with the listeners today?
No, I think Consortium News is consistently good. Global Research is very good. I think RT is good. Mm-hmm. Look at the videos on RT and judge for themselves.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that. But thank you so much. We're so glad you take the time to speak with us today. My guest has been Rick Sterling. We're going to briefly touch on just a couple of other headlines before we go out.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Portland General Electric says it's going to determine whether Oregon's last remaining coal-fired power plant can run entirely on biomass in the next couple of months. Well, for one thing, they didn't expect this coal snap. And secondly, biomass. Well, okay, show us your biomass is what one might well counter with. If indeed it is down to trees, it ought to be left on the forest floor. If it's any of that, then we're in trouble. Also, at the same time that they're charging us to burn the substrata for the next generation of trees. They're asking us to pay for that, and then at the same time telling people don't burn wood stoves because you're going to pollute the air. So I hope they plan to put scrubbers on these things, because otherwise we're just contributing to the problem, as if there was ever any intention whatsoever cleaning it up. There's another the evidence of huge leaking at hand for this one in a facility they hadn't planned to clean up until 2030. If indeed we're still around 2030, we may have other larger cleanup problems by that time. And again, to talk a bit about, we'll get to this later in the week, little-known federal program. It is the Federal Columbia River System Cultural Resources Program. And it's the name is eminently not memorizable. It tracks some 4,000 historical sites, and some of which may be in the way when... or not in a way, or maybe revealed when dams are breached. And breaching of dams seems to be the only way if we're going to save the fish. Okay, it's going to be very cold. That's the weather. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. And engineering for us today is Tavi and Julie Sterling. Excuse me. Judy... This has been Cascadia for January 3rd, 2017. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. And we'll try to put links on the website. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of First